guest on our program today. We've got Mayor Eli Steins joining us. Good to have you back, Mayor.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Here we have first meeting in June.
Yep.
Last month of the fiscal year.
Yes.
Citywide cleanup. Let's start with that.
Citywide cleanup north of Mamie this week, and then south of Mamie next week.
So. And the little update that we had from just day one sounded like some of the new guidelines people were following, and things were moving along pretty
well. Wayland said things were going smoothly, so I appreciate everybody kind of taking a look at the new guidelines, and Jamie Williams from the library put it together a nice flyer kind of explaining everything, so that was great.
So that information, and again, that's one of those things, and we did visit when Wayland was here with Andrea. Basically, it's the sustainability of the program, being able to to keep doing this.
Yeah, the cost to the landfill, the space in the landfill, the equipment and time, just making sure everybody gets a chance to have things removed but not take undue advantage of the program.
And for those that have missed it, if you go to the city's website and look for the newsletter, you can open that up.
Yes.
Second page, it has all the particulars on there,
yep.
too.
Yep, you can check out any of the newsletters that come in a water bill. If you don't get a physical water bill, those will all be on the website, and we have a couple posts on the city webpage as well.
I know somebody said, well, the links don't always work. We're going to be looking.
Yeah, if you find a link that doesn't work, that's the nature of a website, so we always have to do maintenance on that. So let clerk know, clerk@booneiowa.gov, and they can investigate to make sure that link has a correct file uploaded.
Well, probably the big thing last night, most of the discussion had to do with nuisance abatements and notifications.
We had a more lengthy discussion on it's that time of year where the grass is growing really rapidly. We have a nuisance ordinance for long grass over 12 inches, and that is the one part of the ordinance that doesn't get a special notice on it before action is taken. And so Andrea put together an informal notice to go above and beyond the ordinance, and we discussed the particulars on that to be placed for folks with long grass.
Yeah, actually, she got a lot of the things she said from Ron Kaler, actually. He had gone to some training.
Ron did some training, and they looked at a couple of different examples from other cities, like Mason City, for example.
So, and again, this is just strictly for grass. I mean, there are other nuisance things on this.
Yes, and so it can be it's a kind of a one-stop shop. If you've been found in violation of having, say, a junk car or, trash in your yard, like undue amounts of trash in your yard, it can be placed for that as well. But the primary purpose is to notify people that they are in violation of the grass ordinance, and so they can get a heads up and mow it themselves prior to the contractor coming, and they can save themselves that money.
I think one of the other things that has come up in the most recent couple that came in to have their concerns voiced, and we've heard it before too, is you do have some people that are going more for like prairie grasses,
right, or
things like that, a little more natural.
Yeah. Native plants and things of that nature. So we have to try to balance those interests against the ordinance, and we do get complaints about those where people don't know that an individual is trying to grow those native grasses and plants and things like that. So it is a bit of a balancing act that we have to do.
So we'll see. And again, mostly, like for most things on the nuisance abatement, it's complaint-driven.
Yeah. If somebody complains about it, then we have an obligation to go look into it. So hopefully this notification will take care of the folks that maybe they have somebody in the hospital, and somebody comes by and sees the notice and, help them out, get somebody over there, or they just haven't gotten time to do it, and spur them to action and things like that, so they can take care of it before being fined.
And we do want people to know, you do have some habitual violators.
There are, there are habitual violators, and in the past we had, vacant lots where the owners would let it go on purpose because they knew that they would get mowed by a contractor, and it would be less than finding somebody themselves.
Sure. So you have those issues that are going on.
So try to work on it and, sand on the edges and things like that.
Yeah. Folks, hang in there.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And again, it'll be something that is going to get started now. So I think got to wait to get everything printed, and then that will be starting up soon. I'm going to go with the public safety.
A lot of public safety items,
They had a lengthy, they didn't even talk about the parade routes, which we know that they took care of themselves, but Let's talk, first of all, let's go the crossing guard, because all of a sudden that's going to get, might get some people a little...
might be concerned.
Concerned, yes.
Yeah. You know, on and on throughout the years, you know, we've been losing people who are willing to be crossing guards because it is a big commitment, and odd times of the day for 1 hour before school, 1 hour after school. And in the wintertime, kids are taken by their parents to the bus stop, and things like that. So they haven't been having a lot of customers, so to speak. And so we had one crossing guard left, and the school and the police chief felt it was in the best interest of both institutions if we relied on that push-button stoplight there at that
basically
intersection.
Basically, we're talking the first in story one.
First in story is the only one, yeah. So.
There has not been a lot of traffic through
there.
No,
they say they have three or four kids every day. But again, there is that push button crossing. Yep. My kids cross there all the time to go over to Walgreens and stuff like that. So I know that it works really well.
It does. So part of it is just be aware, folks, that it wasn't for any other reason outside of the fact that there's just...
Not demand.
Not a lot of traffic there.
Not demand, really.
The same thing I know they talked about out by Lincoln, and we haven't had one out there by Lincoln for a while.
That's right.
And they're looking at maybe adjusting the bus stop to
That's
help
right.
out.
Yep. So perhaps changing the bus stop to be on the other side of the old Lincoln building and getting off of Mamie. So they're still working on that. I don't think they've come to a conclusion.
Okay. One of the others, okay, that school resource officer, we'll go with that.
School resource officer, the budget for the school district itself, the overall budget from the state wasn't finalized until very, very late. And then they rely on some federal funding as well. The status of that federal funding is uncertain for the school resource officer, which is the police officer that serves the school during the school year. And so... we had an agreement to roughly have 50% of that officer paid for by the school district, 50% per the city. Over the years, that amount has drifted because it's a flat fee, wasn't taking into account raises and things like that. But we recognize that the school is in a financially precarious situation right now with that particular position. So we're just going to extend that contract for 1 year and give us some time to work with them so they can know what that funding is going to be.
They can plan accordingly.
Yeah. And get back to that 50-50 split.
And as long as we're talking about that, I'm just going to jump into the park thing on the tennis courts, because people ask about
that's
that.
That's sort of a similar deal. Yeah. And the 28E agreement was signed in 2017. There was a flat fee, which represented half of the resurfacing of the McCose Park tennis courts. That was supposed to be a 10-year agreement, ending in 2027, obviously. And the city allocated funds to resurface this fiscal year, so it was ahead of schedule, and so the school was not obligated to pay anything because of that 28E agreement. Fortunately, as we have the money budgeted and there was a grant available, and we can use that money for a 50% match on that grant. So we'll know in a couple of weeks whether we can get that resurfaced ahead of time.
Okay, and get the entire thing done.
Yeah. And so we'll take a look at that contract, that 28E agreement in 2027.
Well, back to public safety, because, like I said, they had a lot of them here. So let's talk about Story Street. We've got a plan.
Yes. So... we are going to, we formalized going to the approach that we had more or less decided upon the last time we discussed this for the stop lights on
flashing,
Story Street.
Flashing red.
Yes. We flashing red from 6th Street up to 11th Street and including 11th Street. So there will be all uniform in that entire corridor, so even after the tracks.
People, you will have a change up there on 11th.
Yep. So it'll just be a single flashing red. So there's no ambiguity whether the light heads are not working or not. It's just one flashing red light. And then there will be a notice for yielding to pedestrians on certainly the vertical bar and perhaps the crossbar as well. Those signs take quite a long time to be produced, so they might not come right away.
The one thing people would say, well, why not use stop signs? The issue there is...
we tried to do that, but with the uniform traffic manual rules and regulations, it just was not going to be feasible, and it would take up the sidewalk space and not allow for ADA accessibility on the width of the sidewalk as well. So it's all a big puzzle. Things get a lot more complicated than you think they would be.
Yeah. So they will be doing that. Nominal fee. Actually, the cost, not that much. You know, the recommendation was from Wayland Andrews was keep your infrastructure just in case.
Yeah, they're going to keep all the parts.
And he said the parts we can use.
Yep, absolutely. They'll just take those parts off the cross arms and vertical bars and keep that in case something breaks. And if we, some reason down the road, need to put in a stoplight, we have those pieces. So
anyway, that will be coming up. That as they get...
You have to do the citywide cleanup first.
You got to finish up there, yeah, so before they get going
with that. On a list of many tasks for them.
The other one change that they did recommend from public safety, and that is to go to a four-way stop at Aldrich and Clinton, which now people are going to go, where is that? That is the backside entrance, really, to the middle school.
That's the south entrance to the middle school. They are seeing a lot of traffic there with activities, especially in the fall and the spring. And they have a portable stop sign that doesn't always get taken out. Mm-hmm. And so the chief and public safety felt, the chief police felt that it would be more appropriate just to have a permanent four-way stop there.
So, and yes, we know the street is not good. So we a lot of bus traffic there right now.
Yes, so. Exactly. And I believe that should be on our plan for the first street reconstruction next fiscal year.
So it's part of it there already. Yeah. But again, that's one of those areas where you do have to have an ordinance amendment. So people
it'll be on the agenda several times.
Then the council did vote to install a street light on Destiny Drive, which is... over here on second? It's over by the...
West of the Little League.
West of the Little League, where the houses were built over there.
Yep, after the trailer park came down, built the houses there, noticed that there was one spot that is particularly dark, apparently, and some of the residents had asked for an installation of the stoplight there. The chief did confirm that it was very dark there, and so council moved to approve that.
That'll be a street light.
Street light.
Yeah, so... and again, it's one of those areas where it's not really supposed to be through traffic, but some make it through traffic.
Right. Yep. So we use it as a shortcut and things of that nature.
Well, we did touch on the cleanup that's been going on, but Wayland Andrews, and I did want to make sure I got this in here too. Wayland says, I'm mandated to send out another letter on lead service lines.
So there will be another mandatory letter sent out. It is not any different from the original letter. There is no action that needs to be taken. It is simply informative about your home might have lead service lines. And Wayland has tried to update the database as best as possible to remove any of those homes that had their lead service line replaced, but it wasn't kept track of, for example. My house received a letter saying I had a lead service line, and I know for a fact I don't have a lead service line. Mm-hmm. And so we try to get as many of those out as possible so that it's truly and accurately reflecting the homes that do have a lead service line.
So anyhow, it's a mandated letter. So I throw air quotes on my mandates here.
Yes.
But an unfunded mandate.
Yes, the mailing and everything like that. It simply heads up, and you can test your water easily to see if it's under the influence of lead. And lead mitigation is very, very easy to do with a filter or just running your water for a little bit before you drink it.
And we want to point out, this isn't going to show up until the beginning of July.
July 11th is going to start. It's the deadline.
So... that'll be coming up, folks.
No action is necessary. I can't emphasize that enough.
We did mention, again, the work for the parks. Mike Cornelis was not there last night, but we do know that the tennis courts is one.
Pool's up and running.
Operational. So
get out there to the pool and have a good time.
And maybe not in a thunderstorm. But we know that with school still going, it's going to be pretty busy, and you like to have that heater working and everything else, too. But they did have Dave Sherry and did make some contacts with the College of Design over at Iowa State. And,
that's right.
They are going to do a project.
They're going to do a class, 500-level class, I believe it is, in the College of Design to help envision what the Park Commission might want to do on several of the parks, whether it be try to get some prairie scapes, try to get some more natural playscapes, expand parks or trails and things like that. And so they'll be working through that in the fall semester. But the Parks Commission is still working on their 10-year comprehensive plan for what they see are priority items to invest in, repair, maybe replace or expand. And so that'll all kind of fold together, and we'll be able to make some great investments in our parks.
They spent a lot of time on that. I know they that was one of the goals that the council had.
So. Yes, for this fiscal year that's almost at an end, I think it will bleed over into the next fiscal year. But hopefully they can have some action items for budgeting time in the fall that we can get started investing in that right away.
So that part keeps moving forward. We know that, speaking of making use of the parks, Nate wants to, he asked permission to go ahead and file for a grant.
Yes, Nate Osmundson, Recreation Director, has one of his big goals has been to start a fishing program for youth fishing. And he has got some loaner material, but really wanted to secure some material that the city could own. And he's going to apply with the Lowry Charitable Foundation, which supplies grant money to youth-oriented activities. And so this fits right into that, and we'll be able to do some junior fishing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Out at the McCo's Pond.
Yep. I have somebody I know that will like that.
I'm waiting to see, because he said he's been in communication with the DNR to do a few things. So we'll see. He's worked with them before, so he's done this previously. He did say it's a little tough kind of corralling them when there's like more than a dozen. But
Might need some volunteers. And then check out the City of Boone Recreation Facebook page as well. That's new. And there's a cardio dance class that will be held in City Hall on Saturday mornings, I believe, starting the end of the month.
So he's going to be doing that.
Free of charge.
Free, and then also blast ball.
Blast ball will be coming. That's for the littlest kids, 3 years old, just really learning the very, very basics of the ball and bat situation.
Well, we did have a lengthy list of resolutions that were approved.
We really
did. Part of the
consent
agenda.
Yes.
Kim Majors is going to be the new city clerk.
That is correct.
And kind of a smooth transition there. That helps out immensely.
Yes.
We know that Andrea's been working on this for a while now. The water rates, Xenia Rural Water, and with some changes in basically Rolling Meadows going to be served by Xenia.
That's correct.
It's created a couple of different caveats for you, I guess.
Yeah, so we had to make adjustments on the amount of water that Xenia could have based on them taking over Rolling Meadows. And then we also had a separate agreement with Logansport. And really, those are just making sure that the ratepayers outside the city proper are paying the same amounts that the folks inside city limits are, so that we can have uniform buy-in to keep those water systems up to date.
So that's going forward. And we also did have a reading of our ordinance for fireworks. I'll let you.
Sure. I mean, you forgot the boards and commissions. You were reappointed to the the Family Resource Center Board. Thank you for serving on that for another 3 years. And Tom Stecker to Planning and Zoning, and Tom Blandford to Planning and Zoning as well. So I appreciate all the service there. So, I do have one more Family Resource Center
position available.
So if anybody would be interested in serving on that, please do contact me.
And again, it's like anybody with an interest in getting a foot into doing some public service on boards and commissions, make contact and get your name on a list.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you don't know exactly which board or commission you want to be on. So I would really appreciate
it. There's always a need in here somewhere.
Yes.
So
the fireworks ordinance, this came as a surprise to some folks. If you didn't catch the news stories from the state of Iowa, essentially making it, I believe, on the 3rd and 4th of July and on January 1st, cities cannot have any restrictions on the use of fireworks. So even if cities like Ames had a total ban on them, they are not allowed to have that ban anymore. We had just some hours of availability.
You still had permitted the fireworks on
permitted days, during certain hours. Yeah. But we are not allowed to have any restrictions whatsoever. So that is state mandated. We have to do that to be in compliance with state code.
I know you had a number of people that were making kind of, what are you doing?
Yeah, why? Where did this come from? Why are you doing that? So, it's simply to be in compliance with state law.
We do have, I'm looking at my calendar here.
Well, the new Public Utility Committee meeting is on the 16th at 5 o'clock.
Okay, before your next regular meeting.
Before the next regular meeting, that's
so
correct.
Otherwise, so. I don't know if Planning and Zoning has anything else coming up. They might on the arch.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that any, so we're going to have the arch will be placed on the north side of 5th Street across Story Street. And there was a concern to make sure that all the neighbors are notified. Mm-hmm. And we decided that the proper vehicle to do that would be a planning and zoning meeting.
So. And it did get to be a discussion between downtown Boone and exactly what agreement about who's responsible at what point and who has liability.
It's not like an official downtown Boone project, but they are operating as a pass-through, as a 501c3. We have a contract that's a draft that we approved to send to them. They're going to talk it over with their legal to make sure that that'll be sufficient for them. We'll get there.
It's still going forward. It's just a matter of
just these legal logistics and things like
that. Gotta have all that taken care
of.
So, once again, our guest on our program today, Mary Lystein. Thanks for taking time to come and join us. Don't forget, Friday Nights on the Green.
Nights on the Green. It's another month again. Yes.
It's been busy for you. We were just looking at that. You did the
Daisy groundbreaking. Yes.
I had the National Guard send-off in here. Just a busy time.
So. Yes, it's a great time to be in Boone.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jim.